From SGI USA, I'm Cassidy Bradford, and this is Buddhability, the weekly series where I talk with Buddhists from all walks of life about the power we each have to change our lives and the world around us. Sometimes when I wake up, I just roll back over. I don't want to think about the full day ahead. I might dream of a totally empty schedule. But when that open time comes, after maybe a day or two, I start to feel restless. Of course, rest is important, but Buddhism teaches us how to make the most of every moment, regardless of our schedule. Through chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, we tap into our Buddhability, which is the limitless wisdom, courage, and compassion inherent in all life, including ours. As I chant about how to spend my time, I can start to see my capacity very clearly, so it's much easier to make the most out of my time. Whether it's taking an evening to catch up on a TV show or hitting the gym with a friend. Because it's all about perspective, we asked you to name something you appreciate about having a full schedule. Many of you enjoy being busy because it makes you feel like you're making the most out of your time, and you're never bored. One person's comment in particular stood out. They said, "Nearly each calendar item is a person who I may not otherwise have been able to meet." I really love that reminder. Each thing that's on my calendar has meaning to me. And if we don't have a why for everything on our calendar, we can chant Nam-myoho Renge-kyo to see the purpose. And if you're anything like today's guest, you could find that a busy schedule is what you need in order to see what you're really capable of. Today, I'm speaking with Ashley Park of New York City about how to develop confidence in the causes we're making and make the path we're on the best possible route to our happiness.
I'm Ashley, and I'm 23 years old. I work at a management consulting firm, currently in a research institute, and I live in Harlem in New York, the best neighborhood ever.
It's very exciting to have you here. I know just from knowing you that you started your practice kind of early on in your life. So I think if you can just share how you were introduced to Buddhism and maybe what your practice looked like when you were younger.
Yeah. So I was actually born into this practice, meaning that my great-grandmother was already practicing Buddhism. And then it just passed down generation-wise from there. I'm also from Korea. I was born there. You know, I grew up in this practice as well, having Buddhism as a center of my life always. And everyone was always so bright and smiley. And I, as a child, was feeling like, no, that's not me. I'm too cool for this. But I think essentially now when I look back, I really just realized that I just didn't have a lot of confidence in myself and I felt uncomfortable being happy. Yeah, I was raised by my grandparents. My parents divorced before I was born, and my mom had moved to the U.S. when I was 3. So I reunited with my mom when I was about 8 years old in New York. And my mom was also practicing Buddhism. And I was always, you know, chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo because I was encouraged by my friends in Buddhist community and also by my own family. You know, if there's anything I want to challenge in life, you know, I can always chant about it, but I never really... I did it for the sake of doing it, but not really with intention. Just growing up as a child, I was just doing it because my family told me to do it. But I really started engaging in this practice seriously when I was 16 in high school. My mom got divorced with my stepdad. And in that same year, my older sister also got into a really great college with a full ride scholarship. I had to suddenly be my mom's partner when the divorce happened. And now my older sister's also out of picture. It suddenly put me from being one of the youngest to being my mom's partner and also being a guardian to my younger sister. So at the time, she was about 5. So it was such a big shift and a transition. There were so many new adjustments that I had to do and so much more responsibility that I had to take on. I think growing up as a child, I just didn't have the desire to work hard. I just conditioned myself to feel like, well, what's the point? Or like, why should I? And that was actually the moment that made me realize, wow, like, my parents work really hard. They have to think of so many things. And then even my sister too. Like, so now I had to do that. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. I don't want to do all of this. But yeah, because I think at that time I was struggling so much, you know, also as a teenager, also you're trying to figure your life out. You have so many like different emotions and trying to figure out who you are, where to go to college. And there's just so many different things happening and confusions. I knew that my older sister was definitely more engaged in, you know, this Buddhist practice than I was. And seeing that result in her life of how she used Buddhist principles and this practice to achieve the things she wanted. And despite times of adversity in our lives, it was so inspiring to me. And it also encouraged me to be like, I also want to experience those kinds of moments in my own life, because I think growing up, I never really believed in myself or had confidence that I could achieve great things. So I think seeing my family struggle a bit was also what really inspired me to be like, I want to be the pillar for my family. Not just that, but I also want to go big for with my own life. Like, I want to be my own star instead of just putting myself in a corner and not thinking that I can achieve anything. And I think as I got older, I started to see that. And the friends that I have in this Buddhist community, like seeing how they were all able to transform so many challenges in their life through this practice. So that also really encouraged me at a really difficult time. And I think hearing like, yeah, Ashley, you know, have no fear and just go after whatever you want to go after. And everything you're going through now is, you know, it's not just some bad luck or anything. Like, everything has an incredible purpose, and you're able to see that through Buddhism. Yeah, that's when I really started chanting Nammyoho Renge-kyo seriously, and I started to really develop my own personal goals and what kind of life do I want to live? What kind of, yeah, person do I want to be? And actually visualizing the direction of my life and the purpose of it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like at that time, just like a mixture of, you know, challenge because of your family's changing circumstances and your sister leaving home, and you know, now you're kind of the eldest sibling, but also, yeah, in the midst of that, like, challenging moment, somehow realizing, okay, but, like, there is possibility for me, you know, I can be, like you said, like, be the star. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you can just tell me a little bit more about, like, that shift and how you were able to, feel that way in the midst of so much going on.
I definitely had a moment. I think it was a gradual buildup of a point where I was like, right, I've had enough of this. Yeah. And I'm going to just be a freaking star. And I'm going to be me. Like, I'm going to be Ashley Park. And that feeling, I remember, I think I did have this one day where I was like chanting because I was just struggling so much and, you know, feeling burnt out and not knowing what to do with my life and et cetera. That was when I had this feeling of and determination where I was like, the nature of my life or the circumstances of my responsibilities doesn't mean that I have to suffer. It doesn't mean that I have to think of or see my life as there's so much going on and I'm always gonna be busy. No, I can do it in a very unique, authentic way. And I'm only seeing this in the negative way because I'm feeling negative about it. But that's not the true nature of the situation. That's just how I feel. And then also having, you know, developing friendships in my Buddhist community too, where I was able to be open and share about my personal challenges that I was going through with my Buddhist friends, and then them giving me fresh perspectives about like, Ashley, you don't have to be like anybody else. You just have to shine in the way that you best can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like, even when I really decided, okay, you know, I'm really going to practice this Buddhism, not just because, you know, my mom chants. I'm really going to do this because I want to. It was a similar kind of moment. Like, whoa, I can really, like, take responsibility for my happiness. And, you know, I'm in the driver's seat, so to speak. You know, rather than my life being just like so dependent on everything around me or being so easily swayed by like other people's emotions. But yeah, that kind of shift, I think for me, felt similarly sort of like this declaration, like, okay, I'm really going to do this. I have this power in my life. And I think that happened also when I was just chanting, because, you know, I had this really big obstacle that I shared with some Buddhist friends and they encouraged me, you know, like, let's chant together. And it was in that moment that I was chanting that I was able to like tap into that power in my life. So, yeah, as you were having this kind of big shift, what did that look like in the next year or two for you in high school and, like, you know, thinking about college?
As a person who's never studied hard before, I was the type of girl that was like, oh, girl, we have an exam today? I was like, oh, wait, next period? Like, let me see that study sheet. You know, like, I was not, you know, I was always just kind of a class clown. And so, yeah, I wasn't really working hard in school. But I think after I determined in that way, yeah, I was like, you know, really trying to study hard. And I really determined that I was going to make it to the high honor roll for my school. I didn't even make it to honor roll in the previous semesters. But, you know, I think seeing my sister's college victory, it also put me in a mood of, like, clarity in terms of this is what I need to work on to get into a great college and also to get a great scholarship. But it was honestly a real big challenge because I didn't know how to study because I haven't studied before. Like, literally, I just, like, wing it, you know, for the exams. I didn't know how to ask teachers for help. But interestingly enough, in my junior year, in simple terms, they divided the class into, like, difficult to a range of, like, not so difficult. For some reason, the teachers put me in the difficult class, and I was like, why am I here? And, you know, and so it's like, all these smart kids are in that class. But actually, that proved to be really a wonderful springboard to help me, because now I was in this environment with a lot of smart kids where I'm really learning from them, where they, when they're like, oh, hey, like, let's study about this exam. Because that was a challenge for me of, what does working hard in school mean and how do I do it? It took me extra time than other kids who would study because, like, this is all new to me. Not only that, but also because I was supporting my family too. So it's like after school, you know, I have to go pick up my younger sister because my mom was now, like, working all the time. And then also supporting, like, house chores. And honestly speaking, like, yeah, I felt burnt out, like, very, very often. But I was also just so determined that, like, you know, I have to bring these results. Mm-hmm. And also I really wanted to make my family happy because I saw how, you know, my sister's incredible experience made my family really happy too. So that's what I really wanted. It showed as, like, oh, this kind of opportunity is possible. Like, she got into an Ivy League with a full ride. So that kind of opportunity and possibility is possible for our family, is possible for us. That's why I was like, I'm going to do that.
And then you're also kind of starting your Buddhist practice in earnest for the first time. Like, what did those first, I'll say, like, first steps of Buddhist practice look like when you're trying to also, like, juggle all of these things? Did you have time to chant? And, you know, if you did, what were you chanting about?
Yeah, so as early as I can remember, I was always chanting every morning. I was still, you know, chanting on a very daily basis, but now I had this specific purpose and a goal of what I wanted to chant about and what I was striving towards my daily life. So every time I was chanting, I just felt so much more belief in myself and belief in my life. Daisaku Ikeda, who is our Buddhist mentor in this practice, I also read his books a lot where he talked a lot about how, you know, those superficial things or characteristics you might see in people is not what determines a person's worth or their potential. It's about, like, you believing in your own potential and how are you able to bring that out? How are you able to believe in that and realize that into application in your daily life? So when I started chanting that way, I felt it. Like, I don't know what it is, but I felt it in my being of, like, I feel excited to go about my day. I just feel happier. And I think the previous anxieties that I've had, or that, you know, the previous judgments that I struggled with, like, what is this person going to think about me? Or, like, what am I going to do with my life? Or I'm dumb. I don't have the highest IQ. Like, all of those things, when I chant, it made me feel like all of those delulus, like the negativities, were cleared. And I was able to see my situation in the truest sense, which is that I was the one that was holding myself back. And I was the one, you know, consumed by my own negativity. I think slowly also my Buddhist friends also started to invite me more to attend Buddhist meetings together, where I got to hear from amazing other, you know, Buddhist members, how they were able to really transform so many numerous challenges in their lives through chanting and through this practice. So I didn't feel like I was the only one struggling. I realized that actually everybody's really challenging something in their life. But because we have this practice, because we have this Buddhism where you can chant about all of your deepest desires and struggles and et cetera, I didn't feel alone. And instead, I felt more empowered. And so I think that's also what allowed me to just keep going and going. By the time that I graduated, I actually felt great to be the person that I was. Like, I felt comfortable in my skin.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's really pretty astonishing at like such a young age to have that kind of sense of self. So yeah, I think it just really shows like the power of tapping into your Buddhability every single day. And I think because, you know, you had also been chanting your whole life, and when you were 16 decided, okay, I'm really going to do this like seriously. It seems like, you know, the seed had sort of been planted in your life when you were young and chanting, but now it really had started to bloom. And of course, like this kind of self-confidence, I think, was really a huge breakthrough. But I know that you had another obstacle before you, you know, went to college. So maybe you can share that story and just like, you know, how you handled everything.
Yeah. So the last 2 years of my high school, I was working my butt off. I was chanting that I was going to get into the same school that my sister did, and I was going to achieve the same result as she did. Yeah, long story short, I actually got into the scholarship. But the second part of the application is, okay, so now you got the scholarship. So now you have to actually apply to the colleges that are partnered through the scholarship, which were all Ivy League levels. And so, you know, I applied to a bunch of schools and I didn't get in anywhere. And I was so heartbroken because I was like, what the heck? You know, I was working for this for 2 years of my life. And I think at that time, the reason it was so devastating, it wasn't just because I didn't get into the schools, but also I was really hoping that I can get into these schools so that I can move, so that I can like go to a dorm, because the life that I was currently living was too much for me. I think I also tied that for the 2 years that I was working hard for, that, you know, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna work this hard so that I can leave it here and then I'll move on to my next chapter. But not getting into any of those schools meant that my scholarship also got nullified. And actually my worst fear is what came true, which is that I was gonna, you know, attend one of the CUNYs. City University of New York is a public school system that's here in New York. And yeah, eventually, you know, I kind of like argued with my mom a little bit because I was trying to go away for school. But at that time, the situation, the nature of our family, I just couldn't leave because I was, you know, the only other support that our family had. And that was really, really challenging because I really wanted to leave. But yeah, like in that moment, I think deep down too, like I knew that there also wasn't really another option I could take, because I also personally did not want to take out loans and be in student debt and et cetera. In that moment, to be honest, like I just cried my eyes out for like a week. And then afterwards, I was like, okay, girl, you need to move on now. Like, how much longer are you going to sulk? Like, are you going to move on or what? You know? So I'm kind of the type to be like, all right, like, feel out whatever you got to feel out, but you need to give yourself a deadline and you need to move on.
Wow. I am such a sulker. I will sit in self-pity for as long as I possibly can.
No, I think it's important you do that. Like, don't repress it, but, like, also for how long?
Yeah,
like, you know,
totally.
Things need to move. You got things to do. Yeah. But I think at that time, too, just having, again, like, my Buddhist friends, it was so helpful to have somebody that I can, like, you know, just speak about and share out to. But in this Buddhist practice, it teaches everything you go through is absolutely a result of all of your, you know, chanting, and nothing is ever a wasted effort. Nothing is ever a random coincidence or just misfortune. Mm-hmm. Everything is happening as a response to you, to your determination. And so, yeah, I think I was just reading a lot of Daisaku Ikeda's books, and he talks about you got to move forward. Just keep chanting about whatever you want, and you're absolutely going to be directed in the right way. Even though in the current moment you might not see it, but nothing is a wasted prayer. Nothing is a wasted effort. So I think that's what really allowed me to pick myself up and be like, all right, I need to just move on.
And when you first got the result of like not getting accepted into any of these schools, did you experience doubt? Because I mean, you had been putting in so much effort and the result was not, you know, on the surface what you had wanted.
Absolutely. I was like, what is this? And I fought so hard. And I think in the, I was just so angry. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't the result that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I did feel a bit of a doubt, but I think at that point too, I was just really putting in so much effort and chanting so much and also learning a lot about Buddhism. To the point where I know that whatever happens is a result of my prayer. Mm-hmm. And so this is the best outcome. So I think I already had that belief already, yeah, and that familiarity with that principle. Yeah. But there was like hesitation in me in terms of, was what I did not enough? And, you know, I'm not good enough for these schools. And I didn't exert enough effort in my studies or in my chanting. To be honest, in that raw moment, obviously, I couldn't make sense of it. I couldn't understand why. Because, yeah, I had a very clear image of what victory, quote unquote, the winning result looked like to me. And it was that I was going to get into that same school with the scholarship, period. I was just chanting to really understand why this is what it is. But I think when I chanted, I felt this like deep confidence just come up that, no, it's not that you didn't fight hard enough or you didn't study hard enough or anything enough. You did, and you know you did. And so because I was so confident in the effort that I put in, I think eventually when I chanted about it, it made me be more confident in the result. You know, a quote from Steve Jobs that I really love is like, you can only connect the dots when you look back. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward right now. So obviously I can't connect the dots. Mm-hmm. And then when I started to research into like Baruch actually, and I actually saw great reviews of Baruch's network and its resources to support students in the business aspects. Like, they're very well known for business. Mm-hmm. So that also made me feel a bit more optimistic in terms of like, yeah, I'm actually excited to go to the school and see what they have to offer.
Oh, I love what you shared about, like, as you were chanting, you could see so clearly all the efforts you made. And because you were confident, you know, looking back at your efforts, you could have confidence in what the result was. Like, as you chant, you can see your life very clearly. You know, you're sort of like getting rid of all this noise or, you know, just the things that can kind of cloud us every yeah. day. So as you were clearing all of that, what did your first year in college look like?
So I went there with the mindset that I was going to transfer out. But actually, when I started, I was like, no, I think this is actually a great school. And one of the worries that I had, like going into a CUNY school, was, you know, the like what kind of college experience I was going to get. Because I think in the, at least in the US, there's a very traditional college experience. You go to a dorm, you're usually in some suburban area within your campus. But CUNY's is not like that because, you know, it's a commuter school. And to be honest, when I started school, like the first 2 weeks, I was like miserable because I was like, it feels like everybody's so cliquey and everybody, yeah, just sticks to the people that they know. And so that's when I was like, okay, let me chat about this too. Because if I'm here in the school, I'm not here for a random misfortune. I'm here for a reason. I'm in the school because the school has something that's going to allow Ashley to grow and achieve whatever that she wants to achieve from the perspective of Buddhism. So, yeah, I started chanting about, like, what kind of life do you want to, you know, live in college? And, like, what kind of friends do you want to build? And so I made a goal and I started to, like, chant about it. Like, you know, I want to have, you know, make really wonderful friends, not just on the surface level, but I really want to make wonderful friends. And it feels like a lot of people are saying it's hard to do that here. But, you know, I have this practice and that teaches I can chant about anything. So, you know, and I also really want to get, you know, the great business experience. Baruch is known as a business CUNY. So I really want to get great exposure to that and like develop my skill set. What I think what's also amazing about chanting is that when you chant, you feel the sense of hope. You're able to see the situation for what it is because we all have our own biases and personalities that deludes the way we perceive life experiences. But when you chant, you're able to clear that. So you're able to really just see what's there in front of you as it is. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to bring forth hope in your own authentic way. Uh-huh. And from that hope comes forth courage, comes forth strength, inner strength to continue to press forward.
I mean, and that sounds like that's exactly what happened, right? Like, once you started, because you had this hope, you were able to really set goals. Like, I'm going to cultivate these great friendships and just, like, this hope coming out of your life. Like, okay, wow, because I feel hopeful, I can imagine this future for myself. So after those first 2 weeks where you were like, oh, my God, I want to get out of here, I'm going to transfer. Yeah, what did school look like? Did you end up leaving sophomore year? Like, what happened?
I would say, like, after, yeah, first few weeks when I started chanting that way, I actually did make great friends, and it's not that they appear randomly out of the blue, but I think chanting in that way also allowed myself to be more open so that people are able to approach me more. And also I pushed myself to take initiative. When I chanted, it gave me the wisdom to know, okay, well, what do you want to try so that you can meet people and you can actually build good relationships and good friendships? And I think eventually I also just became like a very social person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that first few couple months of college, like I definitely underwent like a lot of inner persona and I think like social changes, social development, mm-hmm. that I would say that I experienced a lot. Like I was really fortunate in the sense that I got to meet really, really great people because COVID happened during my spring break. I think I was really fortunate because all of those friends that I met in my first year, we still stayed in touch like throughout COVID. But I think when COVID happened, yeah, it was kind of a moment of like, oh, like I can finally like take a bit of a breather from all of like the movings and all, you know, just like so much physical exhaustion. And then also at that time, I started a new job at a startup company. You know, when I first started that job, I had like so much imposter syndrome. You know, it was fully virtual. So it's a little challenging to connect with your, you know, people. And it was also a very niche kind of position. It was like within invoice. I was like, you want me to be an invoice analyst? What's an invoice? Like, you know, that's literally how I was, not knowing anything. But I think I really chided about that too. And eventually I got the hang of it. But yeah, when COVID happened, in terms of physical wise, it gave me a bit more of a space and opportunity. But I think like mental and cognitive wise, I was attending class on Zoom and the working virtually after and et cetera. Like those were, yeah, it was a bit challenging in that aspect.
Yeah, it's interesting that like you had this kind of moment of breathing room, but still, you know, juggling many, many things. And so when you returned, what was your mentality towards school? Were you thinking about career? Did you know like what you wanted to do after college?
Yeah, before I entered college, research majors, but I knew I wanted to be in a business field, but I was just like Googling a bunch of stuff. And from my research, marketing stood out to me the most. So that's what I declared when I was starting as a freshman. And then even like that part-time job at the startup, I started in the accounting team, but then eventually I did well over time. So then my bosses were like, you know, we want you to take charge of marketing. I returned in my junior year, and I think your junior year of college is usually the most important year. Like, you should get a pretty good internship. And I felt pretty okay because I was working in the startup where I was gaining a lot of experience. And I think it's also as a result of my performance too and my work ethic that developed over time. I was developing great skills, but I just wasn't having fun and I was like really just not feeling it. When I returned to school in my junior year, I really started to think about like, I have to be serious about my internships and things. But yeah, so I was chanting about it. And I think actually it was through chanting that it allowed me to be more specific in terms of what kind of internship I wanted instead of just chanting broadly of, I want an internship. You can get any kind of internship, but like what internship do you want to get where you feel like you're going to be excited and get experience? I was chanting that I really want to work for a large corporate space or just a really large company, like a really large agency, because I've worked at the startup already for, you know, close to 3 years now, but I wasn't getting any internship. And to be honest, I had a pretty great resume and I still was not getting anywhere. And I was like, what's happening? But yeah, I think when I was chanting, it made me again, like, have this hope and this conviction that every rejection that I was getting in an internship, like, that wasn't the internship that was going to make me happy. Because there's reason to everything in Buddhism. I think in that sense, it allowed me to develop, like, this resilience. So, yeah, actually, like, 1 month before summer vacation started, I actually got a call back from this firm. And, like, it was everything that I chatted about. And it was also in an industry that led to the current path that I'm in today. Because in that moment, I was like, I want to be in the creative space for marketing. But this was a financial trading exchange for derivatives, which sounds so, like, confusing, I'm sure. And that's how I felt in that moment. But, yeah, it was a marketing internship for this, like, huge, like, trading exchange. So I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. And it is, like, I feel like it's everything that, like, I actually chatted about. And so I started there. In that internship class, I realized the majority of the kids are from, like, Ivy Leagues or, like, master's students from, like, NYU and, you know, all of these, like, top-tier private universities. And I was like, you know, I can't believe I'm here. And I was also still working my other part-time job because I was like, well, this internship is going to end in 2 months for the summer. You know, I got to have some source of income, like, if this internship ends. But then as I was chanting and as I was doing the internship, I was like, no, actually, I really love this internship, and I love the people that I've met, and it'd be really great if this internship gets extended so then I can quit my other part-time job. And I was like, actually, why don't you chat about that? Like, don't just hope for it. Why don't you chat about it? But then also, you know, reading Ikeda's guidance, too, about, like, you know, really doing your best at work, regardless of however minuscule the task might seem and et cetera, but, like, really just do your best. So I was chanting that I was really going to do my best at the startup and also at this internship. And by the end of the summer, I was informed that I was going to be extended. I was the only undergrad intern that was extended. In the beginning, I was chanting, it would be so wonderful if I could work in this internship for the rest of the year until I graduate. That's exactly what happened. I was also able to quit my other part-time job and then going to school and then going to this internship. That itself was a really wonderful experience. And it really made me appreciate the fact that I actually went to school and lived in New York City. Yeah. Because if I hadn't, then I wouldn't have had this opportunity. So that was one of the moments where it clicked, where, like, the dots connected of, like, oh, wow, this is great. And also for me, it was fun. I felt like I was getting that exposure, and that was so much fun for me.
It's so cool that, I mean, one, just that it happened, like, that way. But I think hearing your experience from, like, this moment at 16 until the end of college, I feel like with each sort of phase of your life, you're, like, more and more, I don't know, like, this tenacity, you know, like, I'm gonna get it, you know, like, why not? Why not? But I think that's the kind of, like, yeah, like, confidence we gain through consistent Buddhist practice. You know, you start to see, like, I made this happen. I made this happen. Why can't I make this thing happen now? And I love that, like, you had that moment connecting the dots where, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to have the same opportunity and experience had I been somewhere else, had I been out of state, like, just wouldn't have happened for me. And so I'm wondering if you can share then, like, what happened afterward, how you found a new job, and looking back, why do you feel that this school ended up being the best thing for your happiness and for your life?
Yeah. Landing that internship gave me this whole exposure where it allowed me to realize new interests in terms of career, like what I wanted to pursue. I had to be in the corporate space to realize how much I loved it, actually. And actually, it was a curiosity that, like, I wonder what a corporate space is like. And it's actually, I wouldn't have been able to have that kind of curiosity if I didn't start in the startup company first. And so now I have this experience in the startup. What do I want to do next? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to explore, like, a very large corporate culture next. Mm-hmm. And now I was able to get it. Yeah, landing this internship in that moment, I decided I wanted to go into finance, and I was influenced through that decision because the internship was a trading exchange. So it's a financial firm. So because I was on the marketing side, when I got to speak with people on the finance side, that's when it started to spark this interest in me that I don't want to do something creative. I want something that's a bit more technical, more economic related. And so by the time that I came to this decision, it was too late for me to change my major. Why? Because I was a senior in college. Mm-hmm. And it is way too late. And I was like, I'm not repeating a year. Yeah. And but I just know that I don't want to do marketing. And I say this because I've done the marketing work. So, you know, it was a very turbulent economic time, like all these layoffs and inflation and market and competition was just so bad. And I was like, are you serious that you want to switch your career to finance, which is a very niche industry, from marketing in your senior year? Why would you do that right now? You know what I mean? So I was kind of thinking, no, I should probably just, you know, stick to marketing and apply to those jobs. But I was chanting, and I was also, you know, again, anytime I feel confused, I just read Isaac Ricciardi's books, and it helps me be, you know, so much more clear in my decisions. You know, Ikeda says a lot that Buddhism is win or lose, and you don't settle in Buddhism. You know, you're not just settling with whatever's given to you. You decide what you want to do and what you're going to do to achieve it. But first, you have to decide, what do you want, period? What's going to make you happy? What's going to excite you? You have to set these dreams and visualize those things. And the more I chanted, the more I realized, yeah, you know, I have this practice and I can chant about it. Why not? You know, again, why not? You're never going to know. And I think I totally didn't want to be that person that I just settled into my career field because, you know, I was just fearful without even trying. And I think that would have left me with so much regret. And I don't want to have any regrets. And I really want to make sure that I did my best. So the beginning of my senior year of college, I decided I'm going to try to get into the finance industry. So that's when I just, I was chanting and I created an action plan for myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are you going to do? You want to break into finance. Who do I need to talk to? What applications do I need to submit? And what skills do I need to, you know, add to my resume and et cetera? I was really chanting that I was going to find the best career for me. I decided, like, by March 2023, I'm going to have, like, at least one job offer. So I created that action plan. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to, like, really chant about this. So I was. And it was a lot of work, a lot of work. But I think because I was chanting, it also really gave me the wisdom to be more attentive on where to look for the resources. Mm-hmm. For example, like, I started to read my school email in such detail. I used to never check my email. But now I started to read all of them because in your emails, you have no idea how much resources there, especially as a student, as a college student. When you check your emails, like all of these mentorships, this workshop, this internship, there's like so much. And I was like, where have I been? So I was signing up to everything and I saw all of these free resources that my college had partnership with. So I would also sign up there and then sign up for financial courses so that I can also add that to my resume. And I would talk to people and I would reach out to people. And, you know, because I also went to like a lot of professional development workshops. I was like hustling the most in my senior year because I would have schoolwork, I would do exams and et cetera. And still, in addition to my family responsibilities and my personal responsibilities and my personal life, but then also coming home and then doing homework and then taking these additional courses online. And like, you know, so it was crazy, but I felt so much excitement of, yeah, like I'm gonna do this. So I was being really, really proactive. And I think chanting gave me the hope and the wisdom and the energy to do that, to follow that through and to have the excitement of, I'm going to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would just get so burnt out. But I was like I said, I was just so determined that I want to see what I can do, what I can pull out of my life. So going to more of, you know, Buddhist meetings really helped me to feel more energized and feel more confident. So I think I was really able to develop my Buddhist practice and faith even more and more. And that's what allowed me to really be clear about what I really want in my career. But yeah, I think a few months later, I actually got an offer from this bank, but it was for a marketing position. And I was like, oh my gosh, like here's a one job offer that is paying higher than my current internship. It's like an established bank and it's still a bank, it's still finance, but I was gonna be in the marketing. And I was like, oh, like, do I take this or do I not take this? Like I was hesitating so much, but I was just really chanting. And again, when I chanted, it created this clarity that this isn't, actually, is this what you want? Is this what you've been fighting for and putting in your effort for? And the clear answer is no, this isn't what I want. This is, again, it's marketing, again, you know? And in Buddhism, it's win or lose, you don't settle. And if I take this out of fear, then I think it would have given me so much regret. Also, this Buddhism teaches, you know, Nammyoho Renge Kyo is infinite. It has infinite potential, and I have infinite potential. So eventually, through chanting about it, I decided, you know, I'm respectfully going to decline. So I respectfully declined it. I was like, yeah, I don't think this isn't what I want, so I'm not going to take it. And so, yeah, I was, you know, just chanting, and then, you know, applying to a bunch of places. And to be honest, the first few months, I really was getting rejections, like, from everywhere. But I think because I was chanting consistently, and I was really reading Daisaku Ikeda's books, where he provides encouragement in moments of doubt, and then also really engaging myself in my Buddhist practice and activities and meetings, really exercising those three aspects, faith, practice, study, on a consistent basis, allow me to really develop this conviction with every rejection that I got, that if I'm rejected, this is a protection. This isn't the internship that I want. That's why I'm not getting it. It's not because I'm not good enough for this. This is actually not the thing for me. That's why. This is not good enough for me. And I was able to have that shift in my mindset and also my life condition. So it wasn't to the point where I was like getting swayed. In the beginning, I was. I totally was. But I think because I, you know, was consistently engaging in, you know, my practice, that's why it allowed me to just develop and deepen my confidence more and more. Yeah, so I actually got to interview with a few places. I got to interview with this like one company where actually I got accepted into this like 2-week program at that company. Actually, this was like one of the companies that like I dreamt about. And actually, I've gotten rejected twice before. I was like, oh, like if I got in, that would be crazy. But I got into a program there, and that program is specifically for public university students in New York. So it's almost as if like things just align for me, you know? It's because I went to a public university in New York that I'm eligible to be in this. And what's great about the program is that they prep you also for their interview process. So it was like a golden like pathway that like opened up for me. If I'd gotten into an Ivy League, I would never have had this opportunity. So yeah, I was also prepping for that, and I was like, you know, getting really excited about it. But at that time is also when I got invited to interview for this management consulting firm. It's a very prominent consulting firm. It's one of the big three on a global scale. And to be honest, like I had no idea what consulting is. But it was actually my sister who really encouraged me. Like I actually wasn't going to do the interview because I was just so tired. And for consulting, it's a totally different. It is within business, but it's a totally different path than finance. And you have to do what they call case studies for the interviews. And like I've never done case studies before. People prep and join like consulting clubs to like prep for the case studies way beforehand for the interview. And so I wasn't going to do it because I felt so tired in that moment. You know, I was like studying, prepping, interviewing, blah, 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 like all these things. But then, yeah, my sister was like, do you know what kind of firm this is? And she was like, you have to. She was like, I'm not going to let you just like pass on to this opportunity. You at least have to try. So it was like I was interviewing for that firm and also this trying to prep for this consulting firm at the same time. And it was just so chaotic. It was so, so busy. However, when I was chanting for my career, like I said, I felt like finance was something that I wanted, but it wasn't something that I felt super like confident of, like, yes, this is exactly what I want. But ultimately, my prayer, I was just chanting that, like, I want to get a job that provides this kind of thing, and that the headquarters is in New York. It provides this kind of salary. You know, it's going to allow me to really cultivate my intellect for economy and blah, 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 blah. So I had like specific goals of what I wanted my job to be like and provide me with, even though the specific industry, I didn't know what it was. And so I think from that perspective, when I saw this consulting opportunity, I was like, this is also a result of my prayer, you know? So even if I feel like I'm not equipped or I'm not qualified to interview with this firm, I should still give it a try. You know, you never know. And then eventually I progressed to the final rounds for both of them. But the final round is where I had to do the case studies. And when I found out that I, you know, was going to do the final round, I had 2 weeks to prep for the case studies, which most people prep like a year or like months before. And I'm a full-time student at school, and I also have a job, at, you know, at that internship. But, you know, it was so busy. And then, yeah, long story short, I also got that offer, and I couldn't believe it. I truly could not believe it because that firm has an acceptance rate of, like, a decimal percentage. And they're known to be very Ivy League selective, very, very Ivy selective. But here I was. And then also the position that I applied for, it's actually a new position at the firm where it's also specifically for students that are attending a public university in New York. I wouldn't have been able to get into this if I didn't go to Baruch. If I wasn't in New York, I wouldn't have been able to apply to this. When I got the offer, I was also thinking, you know, my life was so hectic. And all these years, I wondered to myself, why me? Why am I the one, like, having to support my family and then the groceries and then studying till late at night and then, you know, so much on my plate. Why me? Why me? But I think gradually, because I had this Buddhist practice where I was able to chant about it and really grow and able to redirect my efforts in the right direction and grow in the right way, I was honestly so able to see how if I didn't go through all of those struggles, it wouldn't have built my capacity to be able to handle these kinds of interviews. Because I was doing two interviews at the same time for different industries, on top of school, on top of family, on top of my personal life, on top of a job. But by March, the time when I decided, like, I'm going to have at least one job offer, I had four job offers. I received four job offers. But, you know, that consulting offer, it had everything that I chanted about. You know, and honestly, when I was chanting, I was like, you know, chanting for this kind of style, because it's like, I need to support my family, you know? So I was chanting, I was like, oh, like, you know, am I going to get this? Is there really a job where it has all of these qualities? But then again, I was like, girl, why are you doubting? There is. The universe is vast and it's infinite. And also, we live in New York. Like, you know, you have no idea. Why are you doubting again and again and again? And that's what I was reminded again when I was chanting. Like, no, why not? Why not? Why not? Stop doing this to yourself. Stop doubting. Just keep pressing forward. Period. That's it. And this job offer had everything that I chanted for. Like, headquarters in New York. Actually, the salary was a little higher than what I chanted for. After doing the case studies for the consulting firm, it made me realize the skills that I developed through the case studies were the skills that I wanted to develop in my future career. Then the more I learned about the consulting industry, the more I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. And like, I feel like that's what I've been looking for. Like, I wasn't chanting for consulting. Yeah. I was chanting for this is what I want in my career. And somehow I got this opportunity. You know, and when I did, I was like, this is, I think, what I want. Mm-hmm. And so actually, the firm that I was hesitant about before, you know, like, should I take this? Should I not take this? You know, in the beginning when I got that offer, they actually went bankrupt. So it was total protection that, like, I didn't choose that firm. And I think, like I said, I can totally connect the dots now when I look back. And that was totally like a test of my faith, I think, if I had settled. It wouldn't have worked out. And that's why I think again and again, this whole experience deepened my conviction in how incredible, like, just 남미호랭게교 is. And I think because I went through so, you know, so many challenges and struggles, that's why it also made it so much more fulfilling. And I know I totally deserve to be here because I know how hard I worked. And again, I can also totally say this with confidence. If I had gotten into any of those Ivy Leagues, I wouldn't have been happy because also none of those schools like had the field that I wanted to study. I was just chanting to be like my sister because I thought she defined success. But I had to go through these rejections, and actually it wasn't a rejection. It was a protection that I didn't get into those schools. And I think I got the scholarship, but not the school, as an indication that actually it's not that you're not smart enough or you're not capable. You can. But if this is not the right place for you, where you can be the Ashley and you can live the life that you want, that's not here. And I think that was the reason of like why I got the scholarship, but I didn't get into the schools. Mm-hmm. It was to show me that. It was to show me that like it's not that you're not capable. You are. But this is not the place where you can cultivate that even further. And it's actually in New York. Because I've lived my college experience in the city, it's like we just lived within New York. So like after graduating, starting a job, like this wasn't new to me. Like this was already how I was living my life and how I was having fun and getting to meet people and, you know. So it wasn't like a new thing. But I think for me, everything worked out completely. And I think when I graduated, I had incredible friends that I've made, and I felt like I did get incredible college experience. It might not have been the traditional college route, but it was perfect for me. And that's all that matters. And I had fun.
Hearing your experience, the thing that I'm like really struck by is just like how chanting is sort of this fuel for you to like be able to just execute on everything, you know, to challenge your self-doubt, to bring out your courage, and like to have the wisdom to know like what action to take, you know, wherever you need to improve on. And at the same time, like having this framework of Buddhist philosophy to help you understand the mindset shifts, you know, you can be making and how you can use your chanting to like really transform things and not give up on yourself. So it's just really amazing to see how Buddhism really helped you navigate such an intense several years of your life. And now looking at, you know, where you're at, did you ever imagine that you would end up here?
I think in the beginning I really couldn't believe that I'm here. I totally couldn't believe it, but it's so much, it's everything that I could have ever imagined and way more. Way, way more. And I really look forward to going to work every day. So one thing I can just confidently say is just whatever, you know, weird job you think you might be working right now, or you might be feeling like, oh my gosh, like I'm so burnt out, or that's okay. I think the more challenging it is, the more you're growing and the more you're developing, the more expansive kind of life state you're able to build. Because I can definitely say if I had gotten into this firm without going through all of those turbulent moments in my life, I would be struggling right now. So I think whatever it is like in front of you, there's definitely a reason. Yeah, I feel like for me personally, I really do feel like I'm Ashley Park now. I'm doing it.
Ashley's determination to keep going and conviction that no effort is ever wasted in Buddhism is what allowed her to reach where she is today. She can finally connect the dots and see how each and everything in her jam-packed schedule led to her personal growth and happiness. Her experience reminded me of a writing from Buddhist philosopher Daisaku Ikeda. He writes, "You don't normally receive your paycheck at the end of your first day at work. The sapling you planted today isn't a mighty oak tomorrow. If our prayers were automatically answered with no true deep prayer on our part, we would become spoiled. If that's how it worked, our Buddhist practice wouldn't make us into outstanding people. It would destroy us. There are many other elements involved in a prayer being answered, but the important thing is to keep praying until it is. By continuing to pray, you can reflect on yourself with unflinching honesty and begin to move your life in a positive direction on the path of earnest, steady effort. Even if your prayer doesn't produce concrete results immediately, your continual prayer will at some time manifest itself in a form greater than you had ever hoped. It will also protect you. The essence of it is this: if what you are praying for will truly contribute to your happiness and to your becoming a better person, it will be answered without fail. Even if you don't see the result immediately, it will in time become apparent. If you've been listening for a while but haven't gotten connected to a local Buddhist community yet, you can reach out to us at connect@buddhability.org. For next week's episode, we want to know one word to describe your first year of Buddhist practice. Until next time, thanks for listening.